So we, I'm just waiting for our little device to start going. We are about to re record this, and this is going to be one of the ways of Elohim that he teaches us, that he requires of us. And as I've said, and as we've sung in the song "Teach Me Thy Way," or the other song we sang before, he says, "I will instruct thee in the way that we should go, that you should go." So one of those ways is faith. And we need to really pay attention to this one. We need to pay attention to all of it. When I say we, that includes me. So when I say we, I really mean we. I don't mean just everyone else who's listening, but it's we as one. I need to listen to these words concerning faith, how important faith is, and why we must earnestly seek after faith. So this teaching is going to be on the true biblical faith. And I'm going to do my best to read through it without additional comments. It's something that I wrote down a few years ago concerning the true biblical faith. So let's consider the meaning of the words, like in the Hebrew and the Greek words translated as faith in what we call the Bible today. Per Strong's exhaustive concordance, the word, quote, faith is as follows in Hebrew and in Greek, respectively. Let's look at the Hebrew. The Hebrew word is emun, emun. Sometimes you might hear the word emuna. So it's Strong's concordance number 529, which means trusty, and emuna, Strong's code 530, which means firm. So emun means trusty, something that you can trust. And emuna, which means firm. That's 530, emuna, firm. And the Greek word is pistis, pistis. That's Strong's code 4102, which means truthfulness and conviction. Okay, so those are the words. But that those are the definitions of the words found in the scripture. Again, the Hebrew is emun, trusty, and emuna, which means firm. And in the Greek, it's pistis, which means truthfulness and conviction. Let's see how those words are used, how they function, the function of biblical faith. How does that work? What does it mean? Let's consider a statement. The Bible states, quote, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." We should underline that. Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, which is in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1. Excuse me. The Bible clarifies the above statement as follows, quote, "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with righteous fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." That's Hebrews 11, verse 7. Now let's consider these portions of scripture. Noah did not just wake up one day and decided on his own by his personal belief that he needed to build an ark. No, he had solid evidence that he needed to do that. What was the evidence? He was warned, quote, "of things not yet seen by Elohim." So the substance or evidence for Noah was the actual word of Elohim spoken to him. Consider, friends, without that warning from Elohim, Noah would have not believed he needed to build an ark to save his family, land animals, and himself from a worldwide from I'm sorry from a worldwide deluge. Therefore, the substance or evidence is the word of Elohim directly spoken or through his law and prophets. I digress here to show how faith applies even to what we eat by the statement, quote, "But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin." That's in Romans 14, verse 23. "We know what is good to eat by the substance or evidence in the word of Elohim, not by ideas of others or our own. Indeed, whatever is not of the word of Elohim is sin." Faith is not believing we will receive from Elohim anything we want. Rather, true biblical faith, as taught and demonstrated by the prophets, the apostles, and especially Messiah, is to trust without a doubt, to actually know that Elohim will grant everything he has covenanted with his people to do for or give them. His covenant is his express will for his people, as we read about the covenant a few Sabbaths ago. The Bible's account of Abraham and Isaac is a great example of this. Concerning the Apostle Paul, I'm sorry, let me read. The Bible's, let me say that again. The Bible's account of Abraham and Isaac is a great example of this. Concerning the Apostle Paul, teaches, quote, "For what does the scripture say?" Quote, "Abraham believed Elohim, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." Romans 4, verse 3. The book of Hebrews states, quote, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that Elohim was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense." That's in Hebrews 11, verses 17, 19. Clearly, as exemplified by Abraham, faith is trusting that Elohim will do what he says he will do. Because you see, brethren, why did Abraham offer him up? The scripture says he believed Elohim was going to raise him up. Why? Because Elohim had made him a promise that through Isaac, he would have a multitude of nations. So he knew that no matter what happened to Isaac, somehow he was going to, the Eternal would raise Isaac back up. So he had that evidence. He had that substance of things hoped for. He had a reason to believe. It wasn't just he just believed. It's because he had the word of Elohim to trust in. So many people in churches today would say, quote, "God answers prayers if it is his will." Yet many of them don't realize that he has clearly revealed his will to his people through his covenant. We need to know what his covenant states and train ourselves to trust every word without doubting. Let me repeat that again. We need to know what his covenant states and train ourselves to trust every word without doubting. And speaking to myself, saying this to myself, I need to do this. And I have been doing it. I have been struggling and striving to train myself to believe what the word says without doubting. As long as we are living according to the mandates of the covenant, we never need to doubt or question if it is his will. So without ands or buts or ifs, true believers, true Christians must believe and know that Elohim will do what he has said by his covenant is his will. Do what he has said by his covenant is his will. We must know that. Mark chapter 11, verse 14, 23 to 24. These are some references that shows this. Mark 11, verse 14, verses 23 to 24. John 14, verse 13. John 16, verse 23. As we do this, rather than having very few prayers answered, we will see so much more and more of our prayers being answered as never before. This is the biblical faith by the testimony of the scriptures. This has been my experience as well, to be frank. Notice in all the requests Messiah made to the Father. Let's notice this really. He never said, if it is your will, except for one occasion. The one time he made a request that was outside the covenant or command he received from the Father was when he asked that the cup might pass from him. Remember, he came to die for the world as determined by the Father. Yet for reasons we can't discuss here, he asked in hope that he should not die that way. You see, in every other case where he prayed, he never said, if, because he was praying according to the covenant. He knew without a doubt, with absolute trust, that he would always receive what was covenanted with the Father. He would raise the dead, cause the blind to see, just as was prophesied, right, in Isaiah, which he read. Yet, to not die for the world as the sacrificial lamb of Elohim was not part of the covenant. So when he prayed, he said, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. That's in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39 and 42. So if we ask for something not covered in the covenant, we should certainly say, if it is your will. Yes, we should. Just like Messiah did. You see, for he came to die, but he wanted something different from that covenant. So he asked, if it is your will. But if we are faithfully obedient to the Eternal and ask him for what is in the covenant, we need to know without a doubt that we will receive it. This is the training we need. The same type of knowledge, the same type of faith that was in Yeshua, we need to train ourselves to have that. See, Yeshua knew it was in the covenant to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to cast demons out. He never had to say that. Even when he prayed for Lazarus, he prayed out loud. What did he say? He said, Father, I know you always answer my prayer, but I say this out loud so that those who hear will believe, right? And so he prayed out loud, Lazarus, come forth, right? And Lazarus came forth. We need to have that kind of trust. So that means we need to know the covenant. We need to study the covenant and say and pray. And among our first prayers need to be, Master, Father in heaven, the covenant says this, the covenant says that, that I will receive healing, that I will receive everlasting life, that I will receive forgiveness of sins, that I can pray for the sick, that, and so on and so on and so on, that I will be in good health. Help me to believe these promises of the covenant. That's what our personal prayers should be. You understand, brethren? Because we are called to be the congregation, the kahal of Elohim, the mikra kodesh, the holy assembly of Elohim, of the first begotten from the dead. So we need to be as he is. We need to have faith. We need to have absolute trust, imun. We have to have that firmness, imuna. We need to have absolute conviction, pistis, according to the Greek, right? This is very important for us, especially as all of us will face temptations one way or another in this life. We need to have that faith of Yeshua to overcome. We need to know what the covenant says. We need to be like the three Hebrew young men who, as my brother spoke of last week, when they said, we know that Elohim will deliver us, but even if he does not deliver us, we will not bow down. You understand? They had that faith. And that's the type of faith we need to have. We need to know Elohim will deliver us from our troubles. Can we know it? Just know. Many of us, the satanic systems we have lived, communities we have lived in, train us not to have faith. We're trained to doubt. We are. We have been. Even many of the churches, congregations we're in, a lot of ifs. You hear the pastors, the ministers praying, and they say, if it is your will, let this person be healed. Or if it is your will, but the covenant says it is his will. We must not doubt those things. We must train ourselves to believe in healing, that it is his will. It is his covenant to heal us. For Messiah was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our diseases. Isn't that what the scripture says? So we must, by faith, by firmness, by conviction, claim those promises. And guess what we're going to discover, brethren? We're going to discover his steadfast love, the steadfast love spoken of by Abraham, by Isaac and Jacob, by Moses, by Noah, by David, as we just read in the Psalms. Okay, steadfast love. That's when we will experience that. We have to train ourselves to have that faith. The importance of biblical faith. It is the means of life for the just. Habakkuk, the prophet, we find that in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. We find that in Romans 1, verse 17. We find that in Galatians 3, verse 12. We find that in Hebrews 10, verse 38. It is the means of the life of the just. Are we not the just? Are we not the just made just through Yeshua, the true just one? Yes. And if we are his congregation, we are to be just. And faith is the life of our, is how we will have life. Remember when Paul was stoned, left for dead, unconscious? And then what happened? The apostles gathered around him. And what did they do? Did they go and take medicine? No. They came around him and prayed. What happened? Paul stood up on his feet. And what did they do? Immediately proceeded to, okay, what are we going to do next? How are we going to serve the Lord next? He didn't go to a hospital. No, he stood up. He stood up, brethren. That is the life of the just. When Paul and Silas was cast into prison after preaching the gospel, what did the scripture say? They rejoiced and they started singing. And what happened? It is their life, brethren. It is the life of the just. There was an earthquake. The prisons were open. It is the life of the just. Right? When the scriptures tells us in the book of James, in the book of Jacob, if any is any among sick among you, let him call the elders, not the doctors. Let him call the elders, and the prayer of faith will not maybe, not if, will heal the sick. No theatrics. Why don't we see that happen? Because a lot of people defeat their own prayer by saying, if it is your will. They go against the covenant. I used to do that unwittingly. I used to do that. I used to say, if it is your will, even though the covenant says it's your will. We need to train ourselves, brothers and sisters, not to do that. We need to trust ourselves in the steadfast love of Elohim. That's why Yeshua said, when you pray, he didn't say, oh, when you pray, say, oh, Elohim, or oh, no. He said, when you pray, pray, oh, Abba, pray, Daddy in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your covenant be done. Oh, brothers and sisters, do we hear that? Your will be done on earth. What is his will? Look at the scriptures. Look at the new covenant promises. Look at what he says throughout the scriptures to the disciples. That is his will. One of our biggest challenges, brothers and sisters, has been a big challenge for me. I hope it's not as big for you. I hope it's easy for you. But it's challenging for me, is to trust without doubting. Oh, brothers and sisters, when we can do this, the wonders that Elohim will do for us. Remember what it says? When he came to his own town, I believe it was Capernaum, I think. I don't remember. I don't have those scriptures in front of me. It says he came to his own town, but he did few miracles there. Why? Is it because he didn't have the power? He always has the power, but he didn't do it because they did not believe. You understand? He could have done it. Of course he could. Like when he raised the dead, does the dead have any faith? Does the dead hear anything? Of course not. He raised the dead. So his power to save and to heal does not depend on anything, but he will choose who he decides to answer. You understand? If we don't believe, then he may not answer. So that's why we need to train ourselves to believe. And we will see the amazing things that he will do. I've seen some amazing things. I'm not going to spend the time saying, but I'll tell you a few. I've seen a person in a coma raised in front of me immediately through prayer. I've seen other things happen. I've prayed for people. Like years ago when I was a young man, I worked in the store called Strawberry. Sorry. And this lady who knew I was a person who prayed. That's why it's important to live righteously. I never knew anyone was even noticing. But one day this lady said to me, she was a supervisor there. She took me private and said, he says, Jackson, I need you to pray for me. This is a supervisor. And she took me, and she wasn't embarrassed. She said, I need you to pray for me. I have this migraine. Like I had no idea. She suffered from migraine. She told me, please, please pray for me. Oh my goodness, she wasn't embarrassed. This wasn't in the teachers. This wasn't in the employee lounge. This was right on the floor with all the customers. I was embarrassed. She wasn't embarrassed, but I was there. She told me, please pray for me. I have a headache. It's a migraine. She said, please pray. So I didn't know what to do. I just moved. I put both hands, one hand on one side of her temple, my right hand on her left side of the temple, because I was facing front to her. I just said a short prayer. Please, Father, make the pain go away. Guess before I could finish praying, she said, it's gone. The headache is gone. She was so amazed. And then I felt so embarrassed that I just quietly walked away and went back to work. But I was amazed. But I was embarrassed because I was shy. I wasn't embarrassed of the gospel. I was just a shy person. So I just walked away and went back to work. But it turns out a whole bunch of other people came to ask me to pray for them. Some of the co-workers came in and I realized she must have told them. So this is just an amazing thing. And I'm telling you, my life is so hard. Sometimes I'm so discouraged. But these things that the Lord in his mercy did through me, they keep me going. They encourage me day after day to trust, even though my faith is so weak. So I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, this is not business as usual when we have faith. You will see miracles happening. It's not how good you are. It's how much we trust in his goodness. That's the whole message. That's one of the big messages Yeshua is trying to teach. It's your, he is your father. You can trust him. Don't be like the others with their long phylacteries, making prayer just to show off or trying to show how self-righteous they are. The Eternal knows everything about us. He knows how weak we are. He knows. We need to start believing in his goodness, not our righteousness. And because he is good, because he loves us, we love him by keeping his commandments, and we're just crazy about him, right? We're just crazy about his law, his commandments. We just believe. So we need to believe. It is the means of our life. What else? It's in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 9 says, we can't be strong in anything without faith. Do you understand that? That's what Isaiah 7 verse 9 says. We can't be strong in anything without faith, but with faith. Remember we said the way of Elohim? That's his way. He commanded and it stood fast. He spoke and it was. He sent forth his spirit. That's how he operates. He doesn't doubt. So we need to become like Messiah. And that's one of the big things we need. That's why faith is important. Faith is not something wishy-washy. Faith is not something we just try to believe. Faith is looking at what the scriptures say and then go to prayer. Go on your knees and start praying. Father in heaven, help me to believe this. Oh, it says this. Oh, Father in heaven, help me to believe that. Oh, it says he's coming. Oh, Father in help me to believe he's coming. Oh, it says here he's going to heal me. Father in heaven, help me to believe he's going to heal me. Oh, it says that I should be able to heal others. Father in heaven, help me to believe that I can heal others. That's the gospel, brothers and sisters. It's not the if stuff we keep hearing in the churches. And they pray if after if. And what do you see happen? Nothing. The church sick list grows bigger and bigger and bigger. The disease, the ailments, bigger and bigger and bigger. No, it's pray. We have to train ourselves to believe what he says. We're almost coming to a close. One more verse. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, we can't please Elohim without faith. Do you see how important faith is? As Habakkuk and Galatians and Romans says, it is the means of our life. It is how we are made strong, and it is how we please our Elohim with faith. So in conclusion, dear brothers, I'm going to end here. As disciples of Yeshua the Messiah, to serve Elohim effectively and bring glory to him, we must really know Elohim. That means we need to pray for that. Don't assume we just know him. We have to pray to know him. We must know his covenant. And as I've said over and over, train ourselves to trust that the Elohim of covenant will keep his covenant without fail. He will keep his will. He will keep his promises without fail. He cannot lie. Without the true faith, as described and demonstrated in the scriptures, in the Bible, we will only have words and a, quote, a form of righteousness, a form of godliness without the power or the testimony, without the evidence. We have to believe the biblical facts about faith and exercise our faith to attain the biblical faith. The Master Yeshua said, quote, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. End of quote. This is the biblical faith. So thank you, dear brothers and sisters, for listening. Again, this is Jackson Suffrant presenting this message of biblical faith to you. We end here. Please let us know if you have any comments. Does anyone have any comments, anything to share concerning this?